So for those of you who don't know, but I think everyone should by now, I'm Reggie. I'm the youth director here. I'm actually going to pray first so the Holy Spirit just speaks through me. So everyone, if you can just bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you just come into this place. Holy Spirit, come into all of our hearts that we might just hear the words that you have for us. That these words, Father God, that you have given me can help just draw us closer to you and that we can fall more in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to be honest with all of you. This weekend wasn't just life-changing and impactful for my students. This weekend was like life-changing and like life-altering for me. It was some of the craziest experiences. And I'm going to dive into them a little bit later. But I just can't begin to tell you how radically powerful and uncomfortable I was all weekend. During that guys' night, I'm supposed to be like the chill youth pastor, and I'm like shaking because I'm like, guys, this is weird. Like you have Josh rolling around jumping and singing, and you have like Billy crying, and I've never seen Billy cry in my life. And I'm like, what is happening? This is like pandemonium. And it was just so incredible. But the reason I've never experienced anything like this, or I haven't experienced anything like this in a very long time, is because there's been some things in my life that have been roadblocks to keeping me from getting closer to the Holy Spirit. And there's been lies in my heart that I have believed, and I'll get to that a little bit later on. But for you to fully understand how this weekend was powerful for me, I kind of have to take a little bit of my backstory. I grew up in a solid Christian home. My sisters over there, Justina and Rachel, and they can tell you, we did Bible studies daily. And I mean daily, really long studies. We were forced to memorize, by the time I was 18, I'd memorized Psalms 1, 23, 27, 51, 91, 100, 139, and 121. When I tell you, like, it was intensive Bible study, I mean that. And if you ever tried to get out of it, my mom would be like, okay, you're grounded, you'll do it anyway. I don't care if you don't believe, you're still going to memorize these scriptures. You're still going to do Bible study. She was a very strong encourager of being in the Word, but it was never forced. It was more of, you will sit here and do Bible study. You don't have to believe God, but you have to sit here. And if you fall asleep, we'll restart. And days that she got lazy, we'd have to watch like Joyce Meyer or T.D. Jakes. Days that she didn't really feel like teaching, she would just hit TiVo came out, and she was super excited. And she had the hot, and honestly, she had, this is a random story, I don't know why I'm sharing it, but I'm going to rabbit trail. She had the most random black leather couch, and in Marietta, it's super hot. So whenever you're sitting there, you're like profusely sweating. I just remember that from our story growing up. But anyway, like, giving you a background, I had much like Josh, like, I grew up in the Word. I've been to more summer camps and winter camps than you can count. I've been to missions trips, worship and prayer nights. There are so many ministry events I've been to, I literally could not name them all. I literally could not name them all. So needless to say, like, I've been around the block a couple times. However, there's always been this flaw with me that has kept me from going further. And there's actually a quote I want to share, and it's a very interesting quote. It actually says, if you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. And that is Hitler's quote. And I know on a Sunday service, it's really like, ooh, he's quoting Hitler. It's kind of a weird person to quote. However, if there's somebody who knows all about deception, false narrative, and lies, it would be Hitler. Like, and we were taught this, a lot of us who were student mentor homegrown, like I have Chad and Neil over there. We've been given this quote so many times. And even though I've heard it, I never really realized there was a lie in my heart. And you see, the lie is, I've never really been comfortable with the supernatural parts of God. When I was growing up in high school, there were glimpses, there were a prayer night or two, that really crazy things happened. But I've never really been comfortable with the supernatural. You see, I have a really good boxed faith. On the left side, and I have these really cool teachers that have influenced my relationship with God. On the left side, it's C.S. Lewis and the philosophical side of Christianity. On the right side, I have the philosophical C.S. Lewis. On the right side, I have the intellectual Ravi Zacharias and Dr. Lee Strobel. On the bottom side of my boxed faith, I have Francis Chan and the relational Jesus. And on the top of my box, I have Monty and my mother teaching me the importance of like the Christian values of being in the Word, of praying. It's actually a pretty solid box. And it's actually really served me all my life. I've grown closer to Jesus. I've prayed to him many times. I've heard him speak to me countless times. I have seen miraculous things done time and time again. I have helped lead people to Christ. I have seen people come to Jesus. People who are in this church right now, who you never thought would come to Jesus, I've seen them give their life to the Lord. So letting you know, my box has seen so much awesome done in and through me. And God has been directing me all along. And I've never really felt that my box was lacking. I never felt my box was lacking because I've always been a logical Christian. Give me a C.S. Lewis book and I'm in. But if you start talking to me about like visions and prophecies and tongues, woo. Like, not that I don't believe it because it's the Word of God, but it's more for people over there. Like, I'll stay over here and guard the logical side of Christianity. I'll guard my spiritual box. We got this. You start, like, prophesying? Whoa, that ain't me. Like, that's not me. That's really weird and really uncomfortable. But the Bible says it's true, so therefore, I've always believed it. And as I've grown older, there's been these moments where I know God has been, like, kind of get through in my box. He's been trying to kind of open it up. Actually, more just try to break it. And every time he does, I'm like, whoa, God, I am who I am. You can't change me. And there's always, like, I am who I am. For those of you who know, I say that a lot. I am who I am. I have no filter. I can't help that. However, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that really kind of contradict me. And one of them being John 14. John 14, 12. If you guys want to turn to your Bibles to that passage, or you can read it on the screen. And this is Jesus speaking to his fathers. Followers, not his fathers. Followers. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. Now, you see, I've read this passage so many times, and when I'm trying to inspire my students, I'm always like, you guys can do greater things than Jesus. Jesus walked on water. Jesus, like, multiplied food. Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. Like, we can be that epic person too. But I'd always say it from here. I never actually said it, kind of Josh talked about earlier, I never really said it from here. It's like one of those verses from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It's a really cool verse, but I've never really grasped it. I've never fully believed it. I believed it here, but not here. And to kind of explain why, and I honestly feel like some of you might actually be able to relate, is for you to understand where my block happened. I got to take you back about 11 years. This is kind of the last days of my mom and I's interaction. And what had happened was, I'm going to go visit my mom. It's right before Christmas. And the last time I saw her was on Thanksgiving. And my mom was this evangelist. So my twin sister, I brought this Chinese woman, like this exchange student Chinese person, to our Thanksgiving feast at medieval times. And my mom has no shame. So I remember she told my sister, I'm sitting in the back with your Chinese friend because she's never heard about Jesus. You sit in the front with your dad. And literally for an hour and a half, she started from Genesis and worked all the way to the end of Revelation, explaining the whole thing about God, because in China they didn't have Jesus. And this Chinese exchange student, I have no idea her reaction, ended up giving her life to the Lord. That was just how my mom does things. She was like, oh, you don't know Jesus? Let's talk. You're stuck in a car? Like, she just had no shame. So my mother was foundational in my spiritual life. So I saw her on Thanksgiving, and she was just being my mom. And then I heard early in December, I'm finishing up college, that she's sick. But no one's telling me how sick. No one's telling me over the phone. So I'm just thinking, it's the flu, a cough. They're trying to hint to me, but apparently my sisters weren't allowed to fully tell me. So it was just kind of like this hint that she's sicker, but never really did I grasp that. So when I go and visit her, it's December 23rd, my mom had been diagnosed with ovarian cancer, stage 4. And not only was it ovarian cancer, it had spread to the bones and the lungs. So when I see my mom, she looked like she'd aged 20 or 30 years. And when I walked into the room, my face couldn't hide the shock of seeing her. And I remember the first word she said to me was, "Don't worry, just pray. God will take care of me." And I remember I was this up-and-coming Christian. I thought I was going to change the world. I was like the next Billy Graham. And I just thought like I was going to be awesome. So then I walked into the other room, got on my knees, and I folded my hands. And I remember I'm supposed to pray for her. But all that's going through my mind is she's going to die. She's going to die. There is nothing that you can say or do right now. It's over. There is no point in praying. And I just remember this panic. And I'm supposed to be this awesome 18-year-old Christian. I'm a phenom in my own mind. And there I am sitting there on this bed, and I can't pray. I know the truth. She's going to die, God. There is no purpose in this. And I remember I just sat there, left the room, and a couple weeks later, she died. And I don't believe if I would have prayed, she would have received miraculous healing. God has already revealed that to me multiple times. That wouldn't have happened. But I do remember I was so emotionally overwhelmed that I just broke. I faced the magnitude of a circumstance, and I'm like, I can't go there with you, God. I can't pray for this. I can't trust you like that. And it took years for me to heal. And I managed to I haven't fully ever recovered from losing my mom. But my heart is slowly healed. And the wounds aren't as deep. But I remember, as I've gotten older and older, whenever there's the supernatural side of things, I've always been like that. And I've always thought, I don't need the supernatural. It's too messy. It's too confusing. I'm supposed to pray for my mom, and I can't. And I remember thinking the supernatural's pointless. Or it's not pointless for others. It's not pointless for Bob, for Tony, or for Melissa, but I don't have it. I'm not made to be that. I'm made to be in my box. I'm the logic side of things, but I'm not a healer. When it was my moment to step up, I didn't. I can't undo that mistake. And I always remember my regrets. Some people live their life, and they're like, I have no regrets. I'll never be that person. I know God has forgiven me, but I'll never be that person. I'll always have regrets. And I've always pushed the supernatural away. And whenever things get too spiritual for me, I freak out. And I kind of go, oh, okay, God's going over here. I'm over here. Praise you, Jesus. Like, they're doing work, but like, leave me out of this. And fast forward me to the time of camp. Becca, my wife, Jeff, David Poor, My wife, Dave Port, I hope that's everybody. Like, we are just, we are just in the thick of this. These kids on the first night, it's like a rubber band spiritually. The first night, God's like testing the limits of my rubber band. The second night, it's just pure tension. Like, there is no give back. There is no going in. And the third night, God's like, oh, okay, snap. Like, it's like so many kids are crying. So many kids are needing healing. So many kids are like looking to me, and I'm like, yo, I died on like Thursday. Today is Saturday. I don't have what you need. I'm not God. And I'm just like freaking out. I have so many kids crying at me, and I'm like, God, I don't know what's happening. And God told me something really powerful as I'm preparing this message. As I've been saying the words, I don't need the supernatural, and my spiritual box is all I need, I learned what I've really been saying is, Holy Spirit, I don't need you. I realized I kept saying the supernatural stuff is not a part of my faith, which is essentially what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is power. Pentecost wasn't like awesome Bible study time, guys. It was movement. It was power. The Holy Spirit, we've been doing a Trinity series, is his own being, and he is power. But the truth is, to submit to the Holy Spirit means to submit control. And I know I don't really have a lot of control in my life, but it's always been like, God, you had my mom's life in your hands, and you didn't heal her. And I understand that you had your reasons, but I don't want to trust in you because you can break my heart. I run from the supernatural because I can be wrong. I can pray over someone and say, God is saying this to you. And they're like, no, he's not. And you'd be like, oh, dang it. Like, you can be made a fool of. You can be wrong. And it's like, God, I don't want that. I don't want to experience that again. I don't understand you sometimes. You're not always clear. I still don't know why she died. I understand you had your reasons, but I still don't understand. And I probably won't until I die and go to heaven. I know sin has corrupted the world, but I love my mom. It's been a long time since I've talked to her. And it's like, Holy Spirit, I don't trust you. Jesus, I can trust. He died for me. The Father, I can trust. He's been like my father to me. But you, Holy Spirit, I can't trust. You, I don't understand. I can't understand you. You don't, 2 + 2 for you makes whatever you want it to be. You're so like you and illogical and random and powerful. I don't get you. And then when I was at camp, I just had no choice. It was like I was so spiritually dead inside from pouring out into these kids that I'm like, I need you. Take the reins. And he did. And when he was there on that second night, I'm with my boys, I'm shaking because I'm feeling this like unmaking, this unnerving, because I know I'm submitting to him. And I haven't gone through the psychological process of why did I have this pain and how did I get it fixed. The Holy Spirit just said, I'm done with you. Snap. Your box is broken. I won't let you put it back together. You're my son and I love you. And he said some things to me that I really can't repeat because it doesn't have the same effect, but I know what he said to me. And I know that he forgave me for not trusting him. And honestly, this camp experience has taught me, and I'm sure there are people in this church who have that same kind of box, and it's like, Holy Spirit, supernatural stuff, please stay over there with the Bobs of the world. He can pray for you, but that's not me. Taylor was like, I never used to pray before with power, and now it's like, I got this. And what John said in John 14 was, and I will ask my Father, and he will give another advocate to you, and will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But this is my favorite part. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is the one thing that is always with us, in every single one of us. And I had to, at camp, take off my leash, take off my reins. I've been following God, but with my arm out like this. God, I trust you, just don't get within this range. This is my personal bubble. I trust you, but I'm still going to protect myself if I fall. I need to keep my hands open so if I fall flat, I can keep myself up. I'm not going to do a trust fall with you, Holy Spirit, because you broke my heart. And he just met me in so many ways. And I wish I could give this better like tie-in of like all this revelation that I've had. But the truth is I've only just started this journey. The truth is I've only just started experiencing a fractional, infinitesimally small amount of who the Holy Spirit is. The things I felt from him, the things that all the... If I hadn't met with 35 kids, I would have thought it was like a dream. I would have thought there's no way that happened to me. But now that I am where I am, I can't go back. And I can tell you the truth, I would never want to. I've been trying to do this God thing. God, bless me as I follow you. Not God, I'll follow you. It's always bless my skill sets and I'll make the plans because I can't fully trust you. But now it's like, God, where are we going? And if I look dumb, I look dumb. I'm going to give myself fully to you. And I kind of want to end this time in a time of prayer. For those of you who kind of feel like you've been in my boat, where you have the spiritual box that we've created, but it's like, Holy Spirit, no, people have hurt me. You have hurt me. I won't let you in. I kind of want to pray for all of you who are like me. So everyone can just bow your heads. And I just want to ask, normally I never do this kind of stuff, but if you feel like you've been keeping God in a box, could you stand up right now? Like, if you feel like you've been keeping God in a box, could you just stand up right now? And I want to pray for you. Thank you. One more time, I was going to. So, for those of you who can just repeat after me in your hearts or out loud, Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry for doing things on my own. I know I have hurt, and I know I don't trust you. Can you take this hurt from me? Can you take my pride and this self-control? And Father, lead me. Can you teach me to trust you because I know that you love me? In Jesus' name, amen.